You turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. I feel like that's all I'm thinking. Oh, yeah. You know, we had a little time there where we were talking about what we're thankful for. And so as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, you know, what am I so thankful for? And as I was sitting there, the thing that came to my mind was you guys. What an incredible team of officers and spouses. I mean, and I don't just say that, but truthfully, were you not finding yourself, even as we were waiting in line and seeing the mass of people coming in, and sit there and say, is this not amazing that these are the number of people that we have that are as qualified to be and to do what you as a team are doing? It just staggered me. I told Carol, I said, I mean, this is the size of a lot of churches right here, and these are just our key leaders. And man, what a privilege to have people like you. I go to churches very rarely, because I don't do this unless it's with a friend, a pastor friend, who will say, would you come and just do some consulting with our officers and with our staff? And I've done maybe two or three churches this year in doing that. And when I do, they say, tell us about your officers and so forth and so on, and how does your officers work? And I'm telling them a little bit about it. And when they hear the number of our officers, they don't understand. They say, and it doesn't matter even if it's a large church, they say, what do they do? And, you know, how, I mean, if you got that many, how, what do they spend there? I mean, I don't get it. And they have no idea. And I'm able to share about the shepherding of this church. Blows their minds. See, they think that little churches can shepherd well, and large churches can't. And I hear it all the time. Y'all are far beyond anything that we've been able to figure out in a smaller church. And I said, you know why? It's because even the ratio of our elders to our people, our deacons to our people, is probably far stronger than the ratio between some of these churches and their people, or their leaders and their people. And so what I see, what you're doing here in shepherding, I'll say this. I have for many years, all the years of my ministry, I've had one, two, or three pastor gatherings a year where we'll be in a small enough number that we interact and talk about the issues of church life. And inevitably, we put down what the things we want to talk about. Shepherding comes up. How do you shepherd the people of your church? For years and years and years, and this is when we were so small and young in many of those years, when I would be asked, I would always say, you know, we don't have a strong shepherding program. We're trying very, very hard, but we haven't yet figured that out. And then I would listen to other people, and they'd say, well, we've got a pretty good plan. What we've got is a very, very good plan. And they share the plan. And then I always respond with this question: how long have you used this plan? And the answer seems like all the time, and I really believe virtually every time I hear this: well, we're just now instituting it. And I'd say, you know, we've instituted 7 plans, 8 plans, 10 plans. And every time we'd institute a plan, it seemed like I'd have this great confidence. This is going to work. This is going to do it. And then I'd find myself a year or two into it saying, no. Do you know I have not had that question in the last 10, 12 years? Don't even think about it anymore. I look at this and I'm awed how well it goes. And you would be amazed how many people in this church come to me and say, Randy, I went through this trial, I went through this problem. Oh my, what a church we have. The shepherding that I got. The elder that did this, the deacon that did this, over and over and over and over I hear it. I'm telling you, I'm just amazed and thankful for all that you do and the way you do it. Keep on. Keep it up, keep it up. I just couldn't be more excited. So we think about the officers of the church. Here we are in our 39th year, I guess, now. And I wonder how many of you have been an officer, an elder, or a deacon, and you have been, I don't know how many we'd have, I know we got one or two or three, but how many of you have been an officer in this church for 35 years or longer. Would you stand up? Because I'm going to have each group stand. Stand and stay standing. I know Carl's there. Who else we got 35 or longer? Do we have any more 35 or longer? Is that Larry? I can't see in the back. Is that Larry? Yeah. All right, Larry Smith. Okay. I can't see. And Brad. Yep. Okay. So we've got three of you here, 35 or longer. And if you miss it by a year or so, amen. If you miss it a year or two, can't quite remember, just get in the ballpark. I'll just do it by every 5 years. How many 30 years? 30 years or longer. All right, so we add another group of them. What, three or four more? Okay. All right. 25, stay up. We're just going to add to the lot. How many 25 years? Stand up. Was it just you, Tom? Raise your hand if you stood up then. Okay. So we got a few more. 25. I was thinking those may have been some of our bad years. I couldn't remember. 20 years, stand up. Wow. Look at the number, 20 years longer. 15, stand up. All right. 15. How about 10? 10 years. Oh, good. All right. 5 years. All right. And then I'm going to have all of you five and longer. Sit down now, all of you. Sit down. And I want to see how many of you have been here more than 1 year as an elder, but within the 1 to 5 year, so it'd be less than five now, except I want to hold off on the 1 year. How many of you have come in the last 5 years, but not this last year? Quite a number. And then stay standing. Or no, why don't you stay, you seat. How many of you have been here just 1 year or less as an elder? You've come in the last year's class. Or deacon, elder deacon, obviously. Elder and deacon, all of you this year. Very good, very good. Now this will encourage you. You saw the numbers of people per 5 year and so forth in this last year. You know, this year we have 75 men in either elder or deacon training, officer training for this year, 75. Isn't that amazing? And let me tell you, that's a thrill. I always say, you want a healthy church, you get healthy leaders, and you get the number of leaders that you need, and that means you've got to be raising up leaders. And I think that's something that God has gifted this church greatly, in being able to see a lot of leaders. And let me tell you, the reality is, though we have elders and deacons that are just men, let me tell you, you double that, and that's the number of great women leaders we have around here, I'll tell you that. So, impressive, impressive. Very, very thankful for you. The last thing I'd like to share is say a word about outreach. Just, you know me, I'm going to be talking about being missional. I have this, deep-rooted conviction that if you want to be healthy in your growth, you better be responsible in missional living. It doesn't mean that you have to be an evangelist, that you have to be extroverted. I think you've been around here long enough to know that that's not the way you look at it at all. But it's just a heart for outreach. It's praying for the lost. It's just loving on the lost. It's witnessing to the lost, to whatever our strength in word or deed, whatever it is, that we just are constantly keeping in mind that there are people in this world that are going to perish and go to hell for all eternity. And here we have the great news of all news, and we exist as a church not for ourselves, but for those that are not yet a part of us. That's what we exist for. We wouldn't need to be here if it weren't that we're here to reach a lost world. Jesus himself, right? He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. And so that's what we're to do, to take on the mission of Jesus, both word and deed. In doing so, I'd like for you, as we wrap this up, I'd like for you to take a napkin or a piece of paper or the back of one of those little, your name tag or whatever, and I want you to write one word down. And everybody, if you can, grab a pen. I think we should have pens enough to do this. I want you to write one word down. And the word is made up of this. I want you to start with a big, very large script, small I. All right? Just a, like you'd see on iPhone, something like that. Just put a little script I, but make it a fairly large. All right, then next to it, I want you to put a small N, but kind of like a capital N, but small. So it's I-N. And then I want you to put the letters, kind of as a tagged onto that, V-I-T-E, Vite. And this is what I'm using. I'm not just doing this to be cute. I mean, truly, this is what I'm using right now. I want to be thinking about I invite. Not invite, but I invite. I have a responsibility to invite. There are three different major categories of being missional and ways to do it. One is by literature, a very appropriate way to do evangelism. Another way is by investigation, where you help people investigate the faith and walk with them daily or weekly through a process of investigating the gospel. And then thirdly, there is invitation. You find it in Scripture, very appropriate, that we just simply invite. And I'll tell you, outside of Easter, this Christmas time becomes, an incredible good fishing time. It's just something about Christmas. And what's so great about this church during Christmas, and I'll tell you, I have nothing to do with all this stuff that's being prepared, but these programs that are going on starting next this coming Sunday night, I'm telling you guys, you don't want to miss Christmas program and all the other things we've got. By the way, the Aaron Shoes concert is sold out, so we don't have any more room for that one. But all the other things that are going on, I hope we can use it. I'm gonna lead that way. I have already invited some folks that are non-believers that I've met that I'm asking, would they come? And I want us all in the leadership of this church to start thinking, you know, who can I invite? And just use that little word in your devotional time. Just put that little word down in front of you and say, God, would you show me somebody that I could invite this year to something? And just, there are other ways, but just this season, Lord, give me somebody. And I'll keep my eyes open. I'll be thinking. And if it doesn't happen, but I've been faithfully praying and seeking, fine. Don't feel guilt. But just to say, God, I want to be available. I want to be used. And I'll tell you this, I am convinced that God can just as easily bring somebody into our opportunity to invite them as it would be to find a hearing aid. Would you not agree? I mean, I think God answered that prayer. I really do. I think when I pray with God, would you show it to me? All right, here's your little answer. You ask, here's an answer. I cannot imagine that it wouldn't be the norm for all of us that said, God, would you just do this? Would you just give me somebody to invite? And I hope as a result of just these few minutes, our eyes are going to be opened a little brighter. We're going to see people that we haven't seen before. We'll think about them eternally like we haven't before. And as a result, we may see people in the kingdom for all eternity because we met here tonight. Wouldn't that be fun? So I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to thank God for you. And I'm going to ask on behalf of all of us that God would give us an opportunity to be faithful to I invite. Okay? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this incredible team of leaders. Thank you for men and women who have given their lives for your kingdom to come, that your will would be done on this earth, even as it is in heaven. And we pray, our Father, that during this next 2-3 weeks, as we have opportunities to bring people for that Christmas Eve service that we're at, for the Christmas program, for all the things that we have that are here and available, I pray, God, just give us the right opportunity. We invite you to give us someone to invite for you. And would you please do that even as clearly as you enable the answer to a prayer for a hearing aid. That would be our request to you, our God. And Father, I say that I thank you for the privilege to be here and enjoy this time together tonight. What a fun time. And we're grateful for it. Bless now, even as we sing this silent night, that we might think of it in terms of how we might be able to take that night when you gave your Son and allow that truth to transform us even further than it has already. So thank you, and we pray all in the great name of Christ our Savior. Amen.